The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And welcome back to the next hour, the second hour of the Power Hour. 8 o'clock Central Time. It's Tuesday, the end of the month, end of February. Last day to get your winter wellness bundle from OptiVita. And the Power Mall is open for those of you who want to jump on there and order. In the meantime, politics, because of the 2024 upcoming election, everybody's all excited. Are we going to have another steal again? I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of people out there. You can't change the minds of 80 million Americans who think that the election in 2020 was stolen. And if it happens again, what are they going to do? You know, the people are going to wake up and finally figure out, you know, that their suspicions were true. Does it take two steals? You know, it's like I remember riding home from a baseball game with Maury Wills. Remember him, the former L.A. Dodgers shortstop? I got the opportunity to sit next to him and have a conversation for about a half an hour with Maury. And he was the all-time leading Major League Baseball base stealer. And this is just, you know, it's kind of like you look for the opportunity and you take it. And hopefully voters are going to wake up, stop this ballot box stuffing, and you're going to get people that really give a damn about this uniparty system and what they can do to attempt to straighten it out and put faith, restore our faith in government again. We need to put our faith in God first. And see, here's the thing. We have a gentleman on the phone right now that is an America First conservative veteran running for Congress as a Republican in Michigan's 2nd District. He believes the American dream because he's lived it. He's learned to value hard work while growing up on his family's farm. He used those values to go from an infantry soldier to a small business owner and top salesman for a national company. He's a veteran of the Afghan War, and he returned home, was inspired to run for public office in the village of Sand Lake as a village trustee and then village president. He secured funding for infrastructure improvements that built better roads, unlike Mayor Pete and the potholes, provided quality drinking water, unlike Flint, while also balancing the budget and protecting it from the local establishment swamp. Now, if that's the kind of guy you think we need in D.C., then the phone lines are open at 844-769-2944. Write that down. You Michiganders especially, you can ask questions because Tom Norton is on the phone with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So you have the West Michigan Veterans Ranch, which focuses on suicide prevention and financial help for veterans. I know there's a lot of people there who like to... I'd like to follow your lead.
Well, we have quite a few of those. West Michigan Veterans Ranch, we're getting it ready to build a couple buildings on the property. We got cabins up there finally. One of the big goals that we had over the past year to get done, we were able to actually get those things done and up there. So it's becoming the retreat that we were hoping for about 10 years ago when we started it. So it's quite nice and relieving to see that type of thing start to develop the way that it was, that we intended.
See, now here is a guy, folks, that has actually done something, all right? Not just talk, but action, all right? And here's the thing. Tom, you're a Christian. Your wife, Jamie's a Christian. Your three kids are Christian. And you don't believe in Big Brother. Where's our government at?
Well, our government's actually... Our government's just really off the rails at the end of the day. I mean, it's become so overbloated and so huge that we need to sit there and start to really look and address it. But the way that we address it isn't just by people running for office and getting involved. We just got done helping elect our first African-American GOP chair here in Michigan. We took out the entire establishment, so it's not a uniparty anymore up here in the state of Michigan. Just got done with that about 2 weeks ago. I'm actually going to be taking them to CPAC to introduce them to people around there. They're actual conservatives, people that are activists, so we'll be out there later this week. And so we need to make sure that we feel empowered. We need to go down to our level, and we need to educate our friends and our family and find strangers and actually point to them what the government's supposed to be using the U.S. Constitution. But the only way we can do that is battle the fake education, the indoctrination that they have of people, by educating people from the point of view of the United States Constitution and our faith.
Yeah, it must have been really tough when you're, you know, working on the local level and you have to deal with people like Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah, dealing with Gretchen Whitmer is pretty easy. You just ignore her.
Yeah, but I mean, business owners tried to do that too, and she was having them arrested and put in jail. And I mean,
a trick that we had in Michigan, all of our restaurants stayed open in our village, because years ago they had government grant money for setting up your own health, local health ordinances. So essentially, the village was independent from the rest of the state. And if you go back during the lockdowns, that was one of the stops everybody went through, the protesting restaurants. But our restaurants' fines were all waived because we had local ordinances that overrode the governor that were set up years before on an old grant program and an old law. So we used it and exploited it to our benefit. So that's the type of stuff that you can actually do to get around her. Local governments have to realize that even in the state of Michigan Constitution, there is authority to bring back your own rule of law and your own home rules within your village and your communities, where you could have ignored people like that. The problem is you have people at the local level that don't want to stand up, or they don't take the time to even educate themselves on their own authority or power that they have. So but that's where the education aspect comes back.
It does, but the thing is that your voters put you there to do something productive, and you did. So the thing is that, you know, you protected it from the swamp in Lansing, and I'm like looking at the scenario going, man, if you guys stayed open when she was out there persecuting the rest of the state, you know, obviously you had a game plan that other entities, political subdivisions and jurisdictions need to pay attention to. Did you ever have people, when you had this going down, ever have any other people from other markets or other politicians from other communities around the nation come and look at your game plan and talk to you and ask you questions about how you accomplished this? I think you're on to something.
No, because it's a smaller community. So smaller communities tend to be a little bit more ignored on that, and we just kind of maneuvered with what we had on hand. It's one of those resources that the military teaches you. So they have these leadership courses, you know, and you're supposed to not get wet as you go over obstacles and things of that nature. And essentially they give you a couple boards and a rope, and you're supposed to be able to make it work. Well, the thing is, what's funny is somebody always gets soaked on every leadership course all the time. So one of the things that we did instead is, like, I'd take my soldiers, and I actually had them pull off their belts. We used our belts as additional rope. Nobody ever fell in our leadership part. And I remember the course commander's like, well, you're the first one in years that's actually gotten across without any of your guys getting wet. But they said anything on your persons, and most people try to use what was handed to them instead of saying, okay, I'm wearing this, let's use it. So it's really unique how you can take the resources at hand, the resources there in local laws and state laws and in federal laws, and use them to your own benefit. Because they've made so many laws on the books that they could take you to court, and the laws contradict themselves. So if you realize that, okay, they have a law for this, they probably made a law that's counterproductive to it. And in Michigan, we had our court rule that they wanted to use a 1948 law instead of the 1976 law. And they kept going back and forth on what law superseded it. And the court's like, well, we'll let her use the 1948 law. Well, that's not supposed to be pervy. When you replace a law, the older law doesn't count. So what ended up happening in some of these smaller communities like mine, because we didn't have small communities communicate, we didn't have large communities communicate, but the small ones did, because it's like, okay, if you can use a 1948 law, we can use a 1896 law. You never removed it from the books, and now the law's fluid because the laws go from 1976 all the way back to when the state was founded for these health codes. So that's what we went ahead and a lot of us used was different laws from different random books from all over the place because it's supposed to be when you create a new law, that new law overrides the old law. So since they said they could, she could use an old law, but that new law didn't apply, well, the old laws applied to us too. And it made it basically impossible to prosecute villages, communities, and things of that nature. So it created a larger portion of chaos. And to a certain degree, in the kind of a libertarian philosophy, in chaos, freedom can also thrive if you have it organized.
Right. Now, so it officially, your position as far as are you running for public office or are you not? Or what are you doing? What are you running for specifically? Or are you?
Well, actually, that's one of the things when I was reading it. I actually did, I texted the one guy that put me on there. I'm not running this time at all. I'm actually taking a break. But what I took over is I'm the regional director of the America First PAC. So I'm actually going out and recruiting other candidates and helping them because my win rate is much higher when I'm helping campaigns run. So I have, when I run as a candidate, I only win like 33% of the time.
Okay. Well, I just want to clarify that. Yeah. Because,
yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, the thing is, you ran before.
That's why.
And you were not elected.
And that's, didn't win, but I got a lot of people elected here within the party, and I've gotten a lot of people elected when I helped them in the fall and swing seats. So I just went back to, I'm going to help people win this cycle. That's one of the reasons taking some people to D.C. to get them elected. So we can help them out. And the America First PAC is really focused on helping candidates across the country get elected. We got people organizing chapters in Oregon and other states. So it's a full-wide national movement that we're building at a state-by-state level. But even at the local level,
I just wanted to get some focusing on it. I wanted to get some clarity on that subject because I was looking at my notes and going, okay, let's clarify that.
We'd get there.
Yeah, America First. What's different about America First versus the Make America Great Again Trumper pact? What's different about it?
The America First pact is very different in the aspect that it actually wasn't founded by Trump. It's actually the real mindset of fair trade that benefits all Americans, balanced budgets, which we're supposed to have so we don't have continued hyperinflation, strengthening the dollar, things that the conservative movement was supposed to be about years and years ago in healthy conversations about the Constitution, building an actual network for candidates to be able to get a hold of fundraising companies, to get a hold of people that know how to win races, that are some good people are good at mailing, some people are good at digital advertising, some are good at advice. So it's actually built up to be a pool and to develop at a from a state level all the way down, from local all the way up, to build up the minor league baseball team. So that in 2 years, we have people that can go into the semi-pros, for instance, like the state house, the state senate, and some to go to Congress and build it up and build up these people who are leaders in communities so they can go out and educate their communities on what it means to be an actual American. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans. You can have blue dog Democrats and get rid of the – I'd rather have a uniparty be full of conservatives. I'd like to see John Kennedy Democrats again. I think they're extinct, personally. That's why I always focus on the Republicans. But if we could go and run one, say, in the inner city of Detroit, if I could go run a Republican, the Republican's never going to win. Well, let's go ahead.
What do you think about the Chicago race?
Well, just like there, what I would do is I would run. It's a clown show. I didn't actually believe that Men in Black was a documentary until I saw Lightfoot actually become the mayor of Chicago. the race in Chicago is just always going to be a nightmare. It's such a corrupt city. The politics there is like the fundamentals of a swamp. It's something that connects in D.C. and expanded after Emanuel went there, and he just took the disease and amplified what the old Chicago families had done. So that race, the people of Chicago aren't going to truly benefit. It's basically subsidized by the rest of the state of Illinois. And that's how Chicago operates.
So what do you think as far as this, the DOD, since you're dealing with veterans, I'm kind of curious. The DOD is now trying to implement a rule that servicemen who are under the age of 25 cannot go to the PX and buy a weapon at the PX because apparently those under the age of 25 are going to the PX and buying a gun and blowing their head off. And they're still enlisted. Now, I'm kind of looking at this thing going, wait a minute, this whole thing is screwed up if that's happening. You know, have you read the write-up on that, and what's your reaction to it?
I did glimpse at that the other day. So here's the thing. If somebody's going to shoot themselves and they're that dedicated to getting out of this world, what combat unions try to go to the range at least once a week, okay, because they have to keep up on their shooting and work practice on their shooting.
Yeah.
So most of your combat soldiers are between 18 and 22. If they're going to shoot themselves, they're just going to do it right on the range, and they're going to be a danger to everybody else anyway. It's just like, that's actually, oddly enough, a lot of these units, you'd be surprised at the amount of suicides that happen on a range. It's not uncommon for a suicide to happen on a firing range. They have the weapon, they have the bullets, and they'll just go and take care of themselves.
Yep.
Right there.
So much,
but,
so much for hitting 300-meter targets, huh?
Yeah.
They're hitting the
sub-20s. Yeah, they're hitting the sub-20s. But the stopping somebody from buying a weapon at the PX is not going to do anything. The biggest issues that happen in the military, and the biggest thing that needs to happen, is that soldiers have to get the help necessary to not harm themselves or other people. I'll use a personal story too, and it's actually funny because we just started digging through the I Love Me file from when I was in the service, because I got to take it to the VA. And when I was in Afghanistan, I had a soldier, one of our own, that I recommended not to deploy when I was in operations NCO. And then I went to Afghanistan, we got assigned to SOCOM and broken down into platoon units. Anyway, I ended up going down and helping run this platoon. And one of the soldier that I had recommended not to deploy was at the same location as me. Well, he decided to pull his gun out on the soldiers, didn't know who was behind the door. I opened the door, but we were doing a guard duty rotation, and the gun was pointed at me. So we ended up disarming him, sending him back to Fort Knox, and he ended up getting the psychiatric help he needed. They did end up discharging him, but he was somebody that very obviously had problems before he deployed. We could identify the problems. And the biggest issues in the United States military is we end careers because we wait too long to address the problem. Had we just taken this soldier, sent him and gotten the help he needed before we deployed, and maybe he missed that deployment or go on another one, we may have been able to put his brain back together, because he had done three prior deployments was his issue. From what I understand, he still blames me for his discharge, which is fine. But the guy was homicidal and suicidal at that time. But today, from what I understand from people, 12 years later, he has a family, he's fully functional, and has a job. But he did get the help he needed. So what they have to do in the military is we need to change the mindset of, okay, is suicide weak? Yeah, that's still my attitude being in the military, right? I still believe that. It's weak. But when you can see the problem and you see people having problems, real leaders, even in the military, we need to teach them to say, hey, take him to where he needs to go. Let's get his problems addressed. And instead of discharging the guy, let's fix what's wrong with him, because you can fix it if you get him to the right type of counselor. And let's focus on higher quality of counselors in the military instead of brand new graduates. Let's try to sit there and recruit military members to go to college, become counselors, and come back in the military as an officer. Let's take people who have been enlisted and teach them to be psychiatrists in the military. That's how you heal them. I've seen the most effective psychiatrists in the VA, and we have one here in Grand Rapids. We're very blessed that way. This guy's a former Marine, ended up working in a factory for 10 years. And then he's like, you know, I want to give back. So he went, used his GI Bill, became a psychiatrist. He's a psychiatrist at the VA.
He has one of the highest success rates on addressing alcoholism, suicides, and everything at the VA because he was an enlisted soldier. Then he went and became a psychiatrist, and then he came back into the VA. We should be encouraging that type of behavior. It's a long game fix to the problem. But if the DOD really wants to stop people from committing suicides, that's the action they should be taking. We give the benefits. Let's give an extra stipend to actually solve suicide in the military.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of stupid when I heard it in the first place, that they should ban the ability to buy weapons. You're right about that. And I know that, you know, there are guys that actually were in during NAM. One of the other units that I was training with at Fort Ord, one of them decided that, you know, how you're supposed to always keep your weapon toward the target when you're out there looking and counting, because they take time out to go look and count the hits. And, you know, he turns around and he's pointing his weapon at the tower and pointing his weapon at everybody else. You're supposed to point the weapon toward the target. And he didn't do that. And Tower's like yelling at him, going, buddy, you're going to die if you don't turn that weapon around. And he kept pointing it, and they shot him. We had a guy lose an arm. Yep, that's right. And we had another guy that had a grenade during grenade throw practices, and he held onto it, froze up. Something happened. He kept trying to bang the DI came over and grabbed the guy's arm and kept trying to bang the grenade out, and kid wouldn't let go of it. And thing went off in his hand. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that happens in the military that they don't tell people about that gets really ugly. But PTSD, I think, is probably the worst that this military has had to deal with. It's pretty bad. So moving on to another more pleasant subject, if somebody wants to get the support of America First, they have to agree with your platform. So I guess I should be asking that question with the time we have left, to discuss what the platform is for America First, and that way that people who are interested in running for office that want America First backing will agree with you before they call.
Yeah, I mean, so we don't focus so much on the social issues as much, but constitutional issues we do. And so the Second Amendment, we don't view as a social issue, that's a constitutional issue.
Right.
That's how we view it. Fair trade. That's an actual it's balanced trade. So in certain areas, we'll have free trade with the country. In certain areas, we'll have actual tariffs with another country is manipulating currencies like China. It's a balanced approach. Basically, balanced budget approach. Anything that's going to benefit actual Americans all the time. And if you go to the website, you can actually see the platform. A plan for energy independence, for instance, is a way to actually get the support as well. And then, and then the agreement that for PAC members to help under PAC members as well as another portion of it. But when they go to if they go America First PAC, and it's PACT.com, they can pull up the website and they'll actually have the platform right on there of what we're actually addressing. And they're the broad strokes major issues that if we really reform these, would benefit 75% of Americans across the board. So that's the type of thing that's on there. Election reform with 100% voter ID across the country. I mean, you got to show your ID to buy alcohol or, you know, use your credit card half the time. I don't understand why it's racist for us to be able to show it while we go and vote. But that's the basic types of concepts that we have on there, is these types of reforms. And things that protect the United States and protect American jobs and actually make it so that we can have better wages across the board.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I'm looking at the website now because your publicist kind of failed you, because he put your Tom Norton for Congress website up in our show links, and it's AmericaFirstPact.org. And it's neat because you're watching video when you come out of the gate. Sherry in Kansas, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And to that voting stuff, I would add hand-counted ballots counted on the precinct level before they go to the county. Because these voting machines, we got to get rid of them. But back to the soldiers, my son spent 20 years in the Army. And, you know, so I've been watching all these wars and stuff, and you know, they do not, they seem to have plenty of money for wars and weapons, but they do not, you know, care about these men once they get out. In fact, I really think they're trying to hasten their demise because they don't want these trained soldiers turning on them.
That's a good point, Sherry. I appreciate it. And we are at the break. I love your thought process. I mean, you're right about that, because all these people, especially the non-soldiers, let me guarantee a lot of them are armed and ready to fight when this thing backs up.
Well, yeah, they go to the AmericanFirstPact.org, and actually they could sign up in their different states. We're getting ready to launch chapters. And at the state level, for that gal sing on ballot counting, a lot of those regulations are state issues, and that's where the state chapters of the American First Pact will focus on those state-level issues to work on it. So that way their local levels and the states maintain their authority. But in the U.S. Constitution, it talks about the rights of the citizen in voting. That's what we get used for a national ID requirement.
Okay, and so now when we're talking about America First, and this America First Pact, PACT.com, which I was just at, you go to the website, you want to sign up. Are you also supporting people that are running in the local races or just congressional?
We will be at the state level. So like Oregon state chapter will be supporting Oregon. We're just getting the state chapter set up in Michigan and multiple other states. We're going to have 20 of them launched by the end of the year and organized. So the state level PACs will be supporting candidates at the local level and building up the farm team. So every state will be responsible for its own state. So we're actually setting it up almost like a political party, but as an actual organization to assist in recruiting those candidates and getting them. And that's what I meant by building up the farm team. It's kind of what I was talking about, what I had already started doing earlier. And I just ended up falling into an organization after running for Congress where we could actually help. Multiple of us had the same ideas. So Working together, we're able to make it more successful. Many hands make light work.
Yeah, it does. Now, as far as existing candidates that want to join America First to bolster their candidacy for an upcoming election in 2024 that have their heart in the right place, I mean, do you work with them as well?
We will be working with them as well. If they go to the website, there's actually a tab there where you can click if you're a candidate. You can fill out the form and we'll be able to get a hold of you, and we go through each candidate. So a candidate's not going to be ignored by filling out that form. They're going to be reached out to so we can start working with them out of the gate if it's a fit. So there'll be actually a nice little board at the national level right now until we get the region set up, and we'll vet the candidates before we bring them on. But if they fill out the form, we do vet everybody.
Sounds good. Tom Norton, thanks so much for joining us. AmericaFirstPact.com. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
2 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, and it's Tuesday, the end of the month, end of February, the 28th. There is no leap year this year, so tomorrow is going to be rolling in like a lion or a lamb, depending on where you are in the country. Right now, we've got the weather service. I mean, people are thinking geoengineering here. I mean, like, man, you might not be far from the truth because, you know, Kevin from Ohio called in our last hour, brought up a good point. Because some parts of the country that should be getting winter weather are not, and others that aren't supposed to be getting winter weather are getting pelted with snowstorms and ice and whatnot. And good points made this last hour. Senator Ted Harvey has been a guest on this show multiple times. And, of course, he's always had a passion for protecting the Constitution and the unborn. And he has a website called StopJoe.com, and it appears we just can't let go of Ukraine. We can't let go of this ineptitude. We have a guy in the White House right now that's got the mental acuity of office furniture. And the guy can't, you know, I mean, we're talking about the potential. Here you are threatening China. He's, you know, looking at making that little incursion comment, which gave Putin the go sign. And he wants to get us into World War III. Ted Harvey, welcome to the show, Senator. What's your take on all this? This bumbling idiot in the White House.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, my PAC is the Committee to Defeat the President. And we knew from the get-go that he was going to be a train wreck. And we have been doing everything we can to push back against the radical leftists that have taken over the White House. And we tried to take back the Senate and the House. We got half of it. And we're going to keep pushing in the next couple of years to take back the Senate and certainly get Joe Biden out of the White House. And I think that's where Republicans need to be focusing on making sure that we stop these radical leftists and get the incompetence out of Washington, D.C.
Well, a lot of the political pundits, Senator Ted, all seem to think that the conservatives are just too nicey-nice and that they get steamrolled over by these Democrats who really don't care whether they fight fair or not. They don't care about fair elections. They don't care whether they steal them. They don't care about stuffing ballot boxes. They don't care about manipulating votes. We got 80-plus million people that voted for Trump in 2020 that did not get the results they were hoping for. And, of course, Trump, I don't know, you know, now they want to try to keep him from running again. You're packing everything that's going on right now. Where's its focus as far as, I mean, what do you see the lineup for the RNC?
Well, I believe it's going to be an interesting year. I think the more information continues to come out, whether it's on the coronavirus and the fact that it is, you know, the media is finally agreeing that it came from the Wuhan lab. Every time we turn around, all we're saying is Trump was right. And the mainstream media and our federal government was doing everything they could to push out the Chinese communist government's propaganda and how they used and how the governments of the world use the coronavirus to destroy the economy and destroy the Trump administration. And I think that the more truth that comes out, the more prophetic Trump is going to look. And I think it's only going to bode well for Republicans and bode well for Trump. And I think it's going to be terrible for the deep state in Washington, D.C. that's going to be proven to be a tool of the globalist and the Democrat Party. And I think moving forward into 2024 is going to be enlightening for the citizens of the United States that were forced to take the vaccine, and now we're seeing the negative consequences of that.
Well, here again, the bigger problem is Trump has not walked back any of the stuff. In fact, he admitted that, oh, I took the booster. He hasn't walked back on any of this stuff. And, you know, he was so eager to me and a lot of our listeners to pat himself on the back for putting out Operation Warp Speed. It's like this was the back end of the Hegelian dialectic. And now the real truth is coming out that it was intentionally leaked. And we already knew this. Everybody on my show already knew this was intentionally leaked. And Fox had a scientist on last night that was also saying the same thing. And I'm like, these people all of a sudden now just pulled their heads out of their keisters and thought this up, thought that maybe this is a good time, you know, while we're sitting there with this conflict going on and $1.25 billion check being delivered personally by Janet Yellen to Ukraine so Zelensky can go increase his power base. You know, we're picking the wrong fights all over the world and becoming very unpopular while our southern borders are left open. You really think that given the last 4 years of Trump in office and having Bill Barr, who's supposed to be controlling deep state and getting rid of it, you really think that we're going to see anything any different?
Well, I don't know. If you look at the first 2 years of the Trump administration, when the Republicans held the House and the Senate, we had 2 years of the Mueller investigation going on when we knew for a fact on the very first day that the investigation started that there was no Russia collusion and the Republicans in Washington, D.C. did nothing to protect Trump and stop the ridiculous charade that was going on. Here we go again, where the Republicans control the House. They say they're going to do investigations and everything. I'll believe it when I see it. I do believe that the conservatives now control more of the caucus than the establishment does. But in the end, history has proven that when Republicans have control, they never do anything with their committees that they start to do investigations with, and nothing comes of it. You just look at the Benghazi, just look at the Hillary Clinton email scandal. You know, I'll believe it when I see it, but I do have hope that Jim Jordan and others will get to the bottom of some of these scandals that have happened over the last 4 years.
Well, to me, this is nothing but expose time in a lame duck session of Congress. So I see these things going nowhere. The only way that you stop anything from happening in Washington is to shut off their funding and just say no to everything. That's the only way you're going to stop anything from moving forward is to stop the funding. And when you've got Congress writing checks its body can't cash, and then you've got this PAC going on. Since you were involved in Colorado politics, I got a question, because one of your junior Congress people from Colorado, the 3rd District, and you know who I'm talking about, she is one of the 20 holdouts that was trying to keep Kevin McCarthy out of the speaker's chair unless he agreed to certain terms. What's your assessment of Lauren Boebert?
I think she's a rock star. I think that in all 20 of those that pushed the speaker to meet these demands were, you know, they were doing what Republicans have been asking for 20 years. These guys actually stood up and said, we're going to force the issue. And what I don't understand is why McCarthy didn't agree to it on day one, because they seem to be pretty basic things that were being requested of him, yet he pushed himself into a week-long fight that took 10 votes and had the media going crazy. I would have just said, okay, I'll agree to those things. Those are pretty basic things. We have a united Republican Party. Let's move forward. I think he miscalculated. I think that Fox News lost more credibility than Lauren Boebert did. And I think Lauren Boebert is, and all 20 of them, not just Lauren, but all 20 of them have came out smelling like roses, and they're heroes to the conservative base.
Yeah, and the thing is that I have looked at McCarthy as a rhino from day one. I mean, this, we have a uniparty that we have to separate this back out, because this uniparty system is not working, because the whole thing is full of rhinos. People who, I mean, if you're going to be a socialist, you need to declare yourself as that. If you're, you know, you can't go and lie to the constituents of your district. Senator Ted, are you doing anything to try to combat a lot of this garbage? Is your PAC doing anything?
Well, I want to go back real quick to Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert won by about 400 votes.
Yeah, that's
in
scary.
In a pretty conservative district. He's going to have to do a much better job of getting back into the district, and wherever two or more constituents are gathered, she needs to be there. But it's also going to be incumbent upon all of us conservatives across the country to contribute to her campaign and make sure she gets across the finish line, because we can't afford to have one of the most outspoken true conservatives in the country being taken out by a bunch of rhinos in her own district that are going to be running a primary against her or won't vote for her in the general election. We've got to do everything we can to help her, and that goes for all of the other 20 conservatives around the country that fought for the values that you and I believe in. But going forward, you know, that's what my PAC has been doing. My PAC has raised and spent a ton of money getting conservatives elected. We do not give any money to the establishment rhino Republican class. We definitely didn't give any money to anybody who's pro-choice that's running, whether it's for the Senate or for the House. If you're pro-choice, we're not going to support you. And our PAC is going to be very aggressively engaged in the next presidential election to make sure that we get a solid conservative in there to beat Joe Biden.
So now it comes down to the fact that you got Nikki Haley, who basically now all the critics are slamming her, thinking that she's part of the Hegelian dialectic. You've got Trump, of course. You have DeSantis, who just has a new book out, and he's made so many changes that Floridians consider positive. I think a lot of Floridians would hate to lose him as governor. Have you heard any back channel on him in 2024?
No, but I'm a student of politics, and I understand, I know that the Republican primary process is a 50-state election process, and Donald Trump's base is incredibly wide and incredibly deep, and I don't believe that DeSantis thinks that he could beat Donald Trump in the primary, and I think in the end he's not going to get in. And I think he's going to keep his powder dry, and Trump's base will reward him greatly in 2028 if he stays put and stays a strong governor in Florida and then runs in 2028. And I think Trump's entire base will go into his column in that race. And I think he's making the political calculation that he can't beat Trump this time around, so he will just inherit the base in 2028.
Interesting perspective. And see, I thought the same thing. Basically, I thought, I mean, it's kind of up in the air because DeSantis seems like he's promoting Florida politics is what he's promoting. The thing is that the reason that I think Trump had a problem, you can agree to disagree here. If he gets elected again and serves a second term, they're going to find other junk and garbage to attack him because this, obviously, this thing with the grand jury down in Fulton County, Georgia, with this 30-year-old twit going around blabbing on all the mainstream media, she has jeopardized that entire grand jury. That woman belongs in jail for what she did because they're supposed to remain secret, and it's anything but. And, of course, they'll file a motion to dismiss as soon as the indictment is released, if it ever is. A judge may negate it coming right out of the gate, given what everybody knows. This thing with Trump, because of the fact that he's not really a politician, he's a CEO and he runs a country like that. This thing, how's he going to deal with the COVID now that all this thing is out of the gate? What's he going to do? Is he going to actually hold Fauci and Burks and all the rest of these deep state operatives accountable? I mean, is he going to bring them up on charges? Is he going to demand, you know, he has the power to do a lot of things as the leader of the executive branch. He could round all these people up and hang them in the square if he wanted to. But the thing is
no,
he still
couldn't. No, he couldn't.
Ted, he still patted himself on the back.
The President of the United States does not have the authority to bring anybody any charges against anybody.
Yeah.
But
he definitely needs to be.
He definitely needs to be calling them liars. He definitely needs to be saying he was lied to. He definitely needs to be stepping back from his public positions with regards to the vaccine. I believe that he was lied to. I believe that he was used and he was put into a box, but he's not articulating that. And until he does, he's going to have a lot of problems with a lot of his base.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm worried about, Senator. That's what I'm worried about. I am worried that he is not going to be able to convince all the base. And the last thing we need is a divided GOP, because what nobody wants is Biden to be in another 4 years. This country is doomed if he gets back in there. He will have us into World War III before this whole thing is over.
I'm pretty confident Joe Biden will not be the next president of the United States. I don't think he'll be the nominee of the Democrat Party.
You think something will happen to him?
No, I think he'll pull an LBJ, and he will say he will not seek nor will he accept the nomination of the Democrat Party.
This should be interesting. Patrice in Ohio, you're on the phone with Senator Ted Harvey. Go ahead.
So what's your take on the WHO the meeting in secret to vote on policies that seem to usurp our Constitution?
Great question.
Well, I think it's a great question. I wouldn't be that concerned with it because regardless of what they want to do, it's a violation of the U.S. Constitution, and the U.S. Senate has not ratified any treaty, and there is no treaty to be made with a non-governmental organization. So
I beg to differ. How did we do a lockdown then? Who controlled the lockdown that Donald Trump was all part of?
Donald Trump didn't do any lockdown. The individual state governors did lockdown. They didn't have a lockdown in North Dakota. They didn't have a lockdown in Florida. I believe that's the greatest thing about what came about is that we showed the American people.
He stopped travel.
From China. I think he should have stopped
travel. I was ready to go to Mexico, and 2 days before, he kept me from going to Mexico.
I don't remember that, so I can't speak to that. But I do know that he stopped travel to China, and he stopped travel from European countries. But I think that stopping travel is much different than saying he did a lockdown, because he didn't do a lockdown. That was done by individual governors.
Yeah, we appreciate your call, Patrice. The one thing that I'm concerned about, I'll kind of extend that situation, is the fact that you let these agencies run amok, like the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, and everybody else that's involved in these things. It's like, who's running the show here? You put, you know, as a president, you're supposed to put your faith in the people that serve you. And if they're lying to him, and the CDC and the NIH are, I have a feeling that they were all behind the travel restrictions. These had absolutely zero to do with the intentions of the White House. I think it was these agencies. He should have shut them down and said, nope, as the executive, I'm in charge of this. And all you people who are nothing but appointed to serve in your positions, you're not even elected. You know, their day is coming. But the bigger thing is that I think that the agencies had more to do with travel restrictions than Trump did. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the horn. Go ahead.
I've just read part of an article about a House resolution passed by both houses of Congress in 2018, right after the 2018 election. So it was before the new Congress came in 2019, because they were losing their majority status, the Republicans were. So this was passed by a Republican Congress, and it was signed by Trump. And what it is, it was H.R. 3359, authorizing the Department of Homeland Security and Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency and Homeland Security, to disseminate info to the private sector, including big tech, social media companies, in a bid to combat potential foreign and domestic terrorists. So, and this is what hung Trump. And so a Republican Congress passed this back in 2019 or 2018. So you really need to look at that, because it sounds to me like we need to get all those Republicans out that they did this. This, you know, and they're looking at this right now. Jack Comer's oversight committee is looking at it. So I just wanted to give you a heads up to look into that. I found it in the American Free Press, the issue 7 and 8, and the author is Robert Romano.
All right. Senator Tug, right. Your reaction to that. Thanks, Sherry. Appreciate it. What do you think,
She's
Senator?
Exactly right. She's exactly right, and it's no different than the Patriot Act that Republicans passed with the House of the Senate and President Bush signing it into law. These are continual encroachments on our constitutional rights of free speech, and the Republicans are working with the Democrats. I could call them the establishment. I don't care whether it's Republicans or Democrats. It's one party, essentially, and they are violating. They use that resolution, that law, to allow the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and the NEA and all of the other three-letter organizations within our federal government to set up a infrastructure with our social media companies around the country to censor you and me. It's unconstitutional for the federal government to be censoring you and me, whether it's on social media or whether it's in the newspapers or radio or TV. And somebody needs to be held accountable for what has happened over the last, not just the 2 years of the Biden administration, but also the start of the coronavirus 3 years ago, and their ability to use social media to stop, quote, misinformation was nothing more than a violation of our constitutional rights of free speech, and people need to be held accountable for it.
So the thing is we really do need to get rid of that USA Patriot Act, because this is the thing. The war, if we let this inept idiot in the White House continue all this, we're going to end up in World War III. And obviously, I know Senator Ted Harvey, we thank you for your time. We know you're out to stop this moron, and good luck with that. In the meantime, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for this end of the month segment here on the Power Hour. We'll be back tomorrow to celebrate the 1st of March with you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, what's left of it. See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay at the Paramall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.